Good singing. At this time, we'll have the lights, and if you are being dismissed, and here's who that includes tonight, not fours and fives, you get to hang out with mom and dad. I'm married to your teacher, and she told me party is next week, not tonight. So the point is, fours and fives, you stay in here with mom and dad, and teenagers, you stay in here, because Pastor Zach and Miss Sarah are gone. And then the rest are going to be dismissed at that time, including up to and the forerunners. Keith, I didn't forget. I knew the last song I have to dismiss, but we're going to let you dismiss. So if you go right now, I have a few things I want to say before Brian comes to teach this evening. You may be dismissed. See, look at that. Just the hand gesture did it. Perfect. Thank you, by the way. I lost my voice in the middle of stanza two. And decided to just sing whatever note came to me on the last stanza there. I wanted to say this to us who are, we who are gathered. The next 2 weeks with Brian finishing off the book of Psalms in 145 and 146, this week 45 and next week 46, it brings us to the end of what is the last of Roger's brain trust in our teaching ministry here. And it has been a long year with the loss of Marty and with the loss of Roger too, and others who have passed this year, but two faithful men who have made great impact on the church and the ministry here. And I thought I would be remiss if I didn't at least note, I'm excited about what the future holds and what Zach has invested in preparing for us in the teaching and the lessons. But I will miss my friend and his input. Even this afternoon, I was scrolling through some old text messages on my computer of just how we planned this and how we put all of the teaching together in the book of Psalms. From January until now, every single Sunday night, has been from the book of Psalms. And there's 150, so there's 52 weeks, so we've still got plenty of time. We could keep going, but we're going to pivot out. We may come back in a later year and pick up other of the Psalms that we didn't do this year. But I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you being here on a Sunday evening, week after week, to learn and to listen. I pray that that never ceases. Sunday morning is a time of exhortation. It's when we encourage people to do right by the Word of God. We certainly have an evangelistic arm of the Sunday morning, but Sunday morning preaching is always is an exhortation. Sunday evening is always about edification. Since I started the church, that was the design and my desire with the teaching and the preaching ministry here. And so each of the men who has taught on Sunday evening has been a real blessing. And Brian, you'll get two in a row, and this will be the first two for this year, but I look forward to hearing Brian teach this evening and next week. He is an excellent teacher of the Word of God. Right, Shannon? He's excellent, and I have enjoyed through the years hearing Brian teach. Next week, I won't introduce you in such an embarrassing way, but I appreciate you, brother, if you'll come and teach for us this evening from Psalm 145.
Thank you, brother. As he had said, we'll be in Psalm 145 tonight, and I do have to second what he said about Roger. Roger was a big reason for, really, us coming here. We were going through a very, very hard time when we came here. And, of course, the preaching of God's Word and the lifting up of Christ was the main reason why we came here. But Roger's kindness really was a big reason. He really sort of took me in, I guess you would say, and really welcomed me. And all of y'all did, really. And I'm so grateful for that. But Roger, I'm with Pastor. I truly miss him and love him. And I know Pastor Lott, when he would teach and preach, he would say, Roger's listening from home. Well, I got to say tonight, Roger's listening from home. And what a joy it is to know that he's with the Lord. We miss him, I know, much, but praise God what he is seeing tonight. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. But Roger's faith is now sight. Same with Marty. those that have went on. And we're so grateful for Roger. I'm so thankful for him. I do also have to second what he said about Scott. Scott, you don't know, did you all a great favor tonight. He knows when to turn on the mic. Because if he turned on the mic any earlier, you all would think, man, is there a sick cat in the building? What is that noise? And it would have been me singing. So good job, Scott. Way to go. Psalm 145, as we do, yes, bring the Sunday in the Psalms study to a close at this tonight and next week. And again, we're so grateful for Roger's foresight in doing such a wonderful job with the adult Sunday school teaching ministry. Psalm 145, and a fitting song to end with tonight. Of praising Christ forever. And it really goes well with this psalm. This is a psalm of praise. It's David's psalm of praise. And we can look to it as an example. And we should have praise evermore on our lips. Our voices should praise God, but also our conversation and our lifestyle should praise God. And it is it is fitting for you and I to have that because it's contagious. You know how a yawn is contagious. Praise is contagious. When we praise God, when we have a smile on our face, when we have joy, when we express those things, it is contagious, and others, it helps others also. So we want to edify tonight. We do want to help one another. But David opens Psalm 145, and I'm really going to spend a lot of time on verses 1 and 2. But it sort of lays out the psalm, and it sort of defines the psalm, his psalm of praise, and what we should be, how we should praise. But in verse 1, it says, David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. For the child of God, we get to praise God in all eternity, throughout all eternity. When we get to heaven, and we'll see it here in just a moment, God is the high point, the center of all of heaven. And we have the privilege of praising Him forever. And we get the privilege to praise Him on a daily basis. Praise God for the privilege to praise Him. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your wonderful works. Thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful grace. God, how wonderful Your power is, as we sung about Your power. Oh, God, we praise You for that. Lord God, we praise You for Your patience with us. Lord, we love You and thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. Thank You, Lord, for this psalm and the study in the Psalms. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. He starts the psalm saying, I will extol thee. That word extol means to set on high, to lift up. And a life of lifting up Christ is an attractive life. It is a life that brings people to Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It is our duty and our privilege to lift up Christ. And our every day, our lips, our conversation should be riddled with praise. And David opens it up saying, I will extol thee. I will lift you up. I will lift you up in my heart where you rightly should be and really where you rightly are. Isaiah got a glimpse of that. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but Isaiah 6, we see how Isaiah got a glimpse into heaven. And what a wonderful sight that he was able to see. In the year that, in verse number 1 of chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. What's God's position in heaven? High and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah got to see a glimpse into heaven and see God high and lifted up. That's where he should be in our hearts. The preeminent place of our hearts, he should be in that place. Ezekiel got the same glimpse. In Ezekiel 1, verse 25 through 28, he says, And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, talking about the four beasts. Chapter number 1, it describes the heavenly throne, and he's describing the four beasts. And from the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament was over their heads was likened of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of a throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about, and appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. His response, just as Isaiah's response, he fell upon his face, just the same as John proclaims in the book of Revelation. That's what he was his response. Isaiah's response was in verse 5 of chapter 6, Then said I, Woe is me, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the glory of hosts. Praise God. He got the glimpse into heaven to see where God is in his rightful place, in the center of heaven, high and lifted up. That brings perfect praise. When he is high and lifted up in our hearts, there's so many times that so many people do not have God in the rightful place in their heart, the preeminence. He desires and deserves the preeminence of our hearts, of our whole being. Ezekiel's response, when I saw it, I fell upon my face. Folks, that's going to be our response when we get to heaven. I talk with people all the time, and they're like, oh, what sights we're going to see in heaven. And I'm thinking, oh, the first thing I'm going to see is his nail-scarred feet, because that's where I'm going to be, at his feet. And I'm just going to fall on my face. David goes on to say in verse number 1, And I will bless thy name forever and ever. That word bless means to kneel. It means to kneel and adore. Kneel and adore. What wonderful songs and fitting for tonight with this psalm. Come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. But it means to kneel. It means to be of a low estate. He says, I will put myself in the rightful position or of my heart to kneel in adoration, to kneel in humility, knowing that you are on high and that that is your rightful place. I will bless thy name forever and ever. So the perfect praise is to understand his place, where it should be in our hearts, and to understand our place in kneeling adoration. If we are going to have perfect praise, that's the attitude that we should have. And David lays it out in his psalm of praise. And one other little small word that just wows me when I read it. There in verse number 1, I will extol thee, my God. That one little word, my. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? My God. I did a stewardship challenge. And I used the passage of Scripture, but my God is able to provide. My God. And I skipped the word my when I first read that passage of Scripture. He's able to meet every need. But then I brought it back and I said, oh, I missed a word, didn't I? It was my. When it is special and personal, then your praise is perfect. We know, and we know from Isaiah's vision, we know from Ezekiel's vision where he is in his rightful place. John's vision in Revelation in the center of all. We know where he is. But the question tonight with this passage of Scripture in Psalm 145, is he there in your heart? Is it special? Speaking of my God, I want to encourage you, if you've never heard it or never read it, and if I were you, I would hear it. I would go and Google or whatever you do, YouTube it. But the sermon, He's My King by S.M. Lockridge. Has anybody ever heard that? If you've never heard it, go and search it tonight. Google, YouTube it, whatever. It's right there at the tips of your fingers or what have you. Go and check it out. He was an American pastor, Dr. S.M. Lockridge. S.M. stands for Shadrach Meshach. Shadrach Meshach Lockridge was a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, a prominent African-American congregation in San Diego, California, from 1953 to 1993. He was known for his preaching across the United States and around the world, and is probably most famous for the sermon entitled, That's My King. Google it tonight and go listen to it. Oh, it's a wonderful. And I would listen to it two or three times so you can get all of it. But it's a wonderful, listen. So please, I want to encourage you to do that. But praise is our adoration, our thanksgiving, our expression of approval. You know, God doesn't need us to approve of Him. He wants us to approve of Him. And you know who it benefits? It benefits you. It benefits me. He wants us to adore Him. Some of the ways that David encouraged us to praise God is, number one, praise God for His power. Praise God for His power. And we sang about it just before I got up here. Psalm, there in verse number 3 through 7. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness, and shall sing of Thy righteousness. Isn't it wonderful how over and over He says, great. His greatness is unsearchable. I will praise Thy works, Thy mighty acts, Thy majesty, Thy wondrous works, Thy might, Thy greatness, great goodness, Thy righteousness. Wonderful praise of His power. And our response to that power, it says that we should greatly praise Him. He is great, and He is greatly to be praised. All of our might. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. All of our might we should praise God. And it's, like I said, it's contagious. Amen. When we praise God, it's contagious. I heard Jace over there singing too. Yeah. That thrilled my heart. I mean, just thrilled my heart to hear him over there singing like that. When I'm back there teaching those guys as well, I tell them the importance of the songs that we sing, because they should take those songs with them all throughout the week. I said, I want you on Tuesday morning to be singing, Father Abraham had many sons. I want you to sing of how good God is. I want that to ring in your heart all throughout the week. And praise God for singing. I will sing. I will sing. Hey, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And hey, for me, it's what it is. It's noise. But it's joyful. I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to be joyful with it. But he's greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. We have the revelation of God. John said at the end of his, at the end of the book of the Gospel of John, he says in John 21, 25, and there are so many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And he said it is, his power is unsearchable. But the joy that we can have in searching the Scriptures, we need to search what he's, just because it says, well, it's unsearchable, doesn't mean we just need to sit down and not do anything. We need to search it as much as we can. And the full canon is given to us. His power. I love this time of year. We're celebrating Christmas and how that one of his most powerful acts was the virgin birth. Isn't that wonderful? To know that God's blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, not man's blood. And Peter said it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, because it was God's blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Mary knew it. Mary knew it because she was visited by the angel Gabriel. And she says, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And he goes on to explain to her what God's great power was going to do in her life, and what God's great power was going to do in Elizabeth's life. And John the Baptist. John the Baptist said it wonderfully. His praise. He must increase, I must decrease. Praise shows his place and where it should be in our heart, and our place in adoration. And the wonderful news that the angel Gabriel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. We should praise him for his power. We should praise perpetually. One generation, there in verse number 4, shall praise thy works to another. We should praise God. We should teach our children to praise God. And our children should hear the praises come from our lips. They should see it. The children of Israel were told to teach it to from one generation to another in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, where it rightly should be, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down. Our praise of his power should be memorized. It should be memorialized. There in verse number 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Why do we take up communion? What's the purpose of the communion? Yeah, it's an ordinance of the Baptist Church. But it is what Jesus said. This do, what? In remembrance of me. And I teach a lot about the children of Israel being reminded over and over through the wilderness, through the conquest of the promised land, through the age of the judges. God would remind them, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of the bondage of the land of Egypt. We need to be reminded time and time and time again. We've heard messages and Psalms all year long, and they have had praise throughout all of them. It is the Bible songbook, and there's the songs of praise. We We hear it over and over. We need to. We need to hear that over and over and over. It should be memorialized. It should be taught. It should be taught in our homes. Second thing, praise God for His patience. Praise God for His patience. Verse number 8, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. I could just keep preaching on that for about another hour, and you guys should just be hooping and hollering, praise God. He is gracious. Thank God He's gracious. What is that acronym? Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is giving to us what we did not deserve. Mercy, He's merciful. And we know mercy is He's keeping from us what we really did deserve. If it were not for His grace and His mercy, we would all be consumed. It's His grace. Oh, thank God for His patience. Thank God for His patience. It's not a license to do whatever we want and just, oh God, thank You for Your patience. No, it's a license for us to serve Him and to praise Him. That's what it's a license for. God's riches is at Christ's expense. You know, I heard somebody say, I got another acronym for you. I may have shared it already before in some of my teaching. But it's not luck. Luck has nothing to do with it. It's God's provision. It's God's grace. If it would happen to be luck, it would be this acronym right here. Living under Christ's kindness. Luck. Living under Christ's kindness. If there's anything that has anything to do with luck, that's what it is living under His kindness. I heard that from a, believe it or not, a pastor in Jessamyn County in a gym locker room as he was witnessing to someone else. I said, man, I don't know your name, but I got to use that. That's great. He said, I'll use it all you want. I did know his name at one point, but I forgot. That just shows my... Oh, boy. We won't go there. I'll be there another hour. But God's riches at Christ's expense. And we should be gracious, and we should reciprocate it as well. We should be a witness of His patience. All thy work shall praise thee. I like how Pastor talked about he and Edward, how they, we all take pictures of the sunrises and, hey, that's a great way to witness. Hey, have you ever seen somebody doing this right here? You go outside and they're doing this. What's that make you want to do? Well, what's this guy looking at? Just look. Look at a wonderful, beautiful sunset. I get to look at a lot more sunsets than I do sunrises. That's a little bit of problem I got with not getting up the way I should in the mornings. But aren't they beautiful? Can't you? You could use it as a way to start a conversation. Wow, look. And you know, if you're looking up, that's what they're going to want to do. Wow, look at the beautiful sky. Look at that beautiful sunset. Somebody had to make that. That just didn't happen. Somebody had to make that. Thy works shall praise. The firmament is a witness of His grace. It witnesses His great works. Praise God for His power. Praise God for His patience. Praise God for His pity, for His compassion. It is because of His compassion that we're not all consumed. His compassion provides strength to endure. The Bible says there in verse number 10, He upholds all that fall and raiseth all that be bowed down. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times. What's he do? He riseth up again. Because he's worthy. It's because he is worthy. It's not in our strength that we rise back up again. The just man, because God has proclaimed us just. He is the just one, and he is the justifier. His pity has purpose. There in verse number 15, the eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. God satisfies. Jesus Christ satisfies. Jesus is the only one that can fill the empty void. And he is the only one that can satisfy. You know, Mick Jagger's 80-some years old, and he's still gyrating across concert halls all over the world singing, "I can't get no satisfaction." And without Christ, he can't get no satisfaction. He's looked for satisfaction all in the wrong places. And the only thing that can bring satisfaction is Jesus Christ. The only thing. He preserves. Thank God for his preservation. He preserves. The Holy Spirit preserves the believer. In whom y'all trusted, in Ephesians 1:13. In whom y'all so trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost. That sealing is him preserving us. Praise God for his power. Praise God for his patience with you and I. And praise God for his pity, his compassion. And the saddest part of this psalm, in verse 20, at the end, we know too that God punishes. The wicked and all the wicked will he destroy. Listen, folks. We have it. We know it. We must share it. We must help those that need it. And they're all around us. The wicked he's going to punish. And we must share God's good news. We must proclaim. And the praise should be on our lips, and it should be in our life. Amen. Our lifestyle. People shall see it. He has given, he set our feet upon the solid rock and put in our heart a new song. And what did it say? People shall see it. Let them see the praise coming from a heart where he is rightfully given the preeminence. And let every part of your life praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you.